Matthew 19. We've been going through Matthew now for a number of months. We come to chapter 19, dealing with a difficult subject, subject of divorce and divorce and remarriage. And because it is such a controversial subject and a subject that comes up often, I'm going to do more than just look at Matthew 19 as it relates to this subject. I thought I'd take the time to just kind of look at this subject throughout Scripture, and basically the reason for that is I'm not here to try to convince you that I'm right and others are wrong. What I have found when it comes to this subject is that there's a lot of emotion involved, and understandably so. There's been a lot of people who have been hurt very deeply by divorce and divorce and remarriage, a lot of hurt, and I understand that. And so I want to handle this subject as sensitively as I can. At the same time, we want to be biblical. And there is a lot of emotion involved in this subject. And sometimes it's very easy to base our conclusions and our decision on our emotion rather than on what does the Scripture say. And I find a lot of times when people want to start talking about this subject, they really have never studied it. They know what their feelings tell them. They know what their emotions tell them. They know what they think. But when you really start talking about what does the Scripture say, they really don't know. And they've not really taken the time to sit down and really go through Scripture and really find out what does the Bible say. Now, people who have done that come to different conclusions. All I'm saying is, don't be one who comes to a conclusion without sitting down and studying the Scriptures. Studying the Scriptures and really looking at it, and you have, you know, biblical scholars that do study it and do it so thoroughly, and they come to different conclusions, and that's just the way it is. What I want to encourage you in is, don't be one who comes to a conclusion without studying. And so make sure you really study. And so that's what I want to do. I want to take you through the Scriptures and try to just show you what does the Scriptures say. And obviously I have my thoughts. Maybe you'll disagree with them when all is said and done. That's okay. But we need to study the Scriptures. What we've said so far as we've been looking at Matthew 19, the Pharisees come to him, want to know what his thoughts are on divorce. Can a man divorce his wife for any reason? That was the question they asked. And there were this two schools of thought back in the day of Christ. There was this school of Hillel that said that it was, they were very liberal in their divorce and remarriage beliefs, that you could divorce your wife for almost any reason. You could divorce your husband for almost any reason. Although, let me say this, that it was not so much a wife divorcing her husband. That really wasn't done back in those days. So much it was more the husband divorcing his wife. And in the Old Testament, Moses did have a writing of divorcement where the husband could divorce his wife for uncleanness. And that's where the struggle came. What did that uncleanness mean? There in Deuteronomy 24. The school of Hillel said that meant that if she burned your toast, you could divorce her. You know, just very, very liberal. Almost any reason you could come up with, you could divorce your wife. The school of Shammai said, no, it was very strict, basically adultery. And that was the only reason for divorce. So they asked Jesus, and Jesus very clearly, instead of going back to Moses, went back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, where he created Adam and Eve, and where he brought the two together, and the two became one flesh. And so Jesus says, from the beginning, it wasn't like what Moses did in Deuteronomy 24. In the beginning, it was marriage with one spouse for life. And what God put together, let no man put asunder. And we've emphasized that is a command. Let no man put asunder. Let no man divorce. That's a command. And he said that's the way it was from the beginning. They, of course, raised the question, well, why did Moses then command, is the word they use. Why did Moses command that you give him a writing of divorcement? And Jesus' response was, Moses permitted, didn't command. He permitted because of the hardness of your heart. But in the beginning, it was not so. And then he says in verse 9, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is put away does commit adultery. I want to look at some other verses before we come back to this verse. As you know, one of the biggest questions in this whole issue of divorce and remarriage has to do with that phrase, except it be for fornication. What does that mean? Why does Jesus use the word fornication and not the word adultery? Why is Matthew the only one who uses that phrase, except for fornication? When Luke quotes Jesus, he doesn't include that, except it be for fornication. When Mark quotes Jesus, he doesn't include that phrase, except it be for fornication. Matthew's the only one that uses that exception clause, as it's often referred to. Why? Why does Matthew include the exception clause and Mark and Luke do not? Why does he use the word fornication and not the word adultery? You know, if a couple's married and there's extramarital sex involved, it's adultery. You don't usually use the word fornication. The word fornication is a word that means it refers to all kinds of sexual immorality. Why does Jesus use the word fornication or sexual immorality as opposed to the word adultery? They're the questions that we'll get into. Probably not tonight, but I do want to let you know that we will come back to that exception clause, and we'll talk about that. But before we do, let me just state basically the four views concerning divorce and remarriage. One, divorce and remarriage at any time, for anybody, for anything. That's pretty much where our society is today. Divorce and remarriage for anyone, at any time, for anything. I doubt there's anybody here tonight that would agree with that. We have maybe some differing opinions about divorce and remarriage, but probably most of us here tonight would not say, well, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter. Divorce and remarriage, any time, for anyone, at, you know, any circumstance, most of us wouldn't be there. Then there's the view, no divorce for anybody, for any reason, under any circumstance. Again, probably most would not be there. You got one extremely liberal, divorce and remarriage, any time, for anyone, any place. And then you have the other extreme, no divorce for anyone, any time, under any circumstances. And then you have a third, divorce under certain circumstances, but no remarriage at any time, for anybody, for any reason. Divorce for some circumstances, but no remarriage for anyone at any time under any circumstances. Frankly, that is the official position of our church. If you read our position paper concerning divorce and remarriage, that's our position. That doesn't mean everyone in the church agrees with that, but that is the official position of the church that has been voted on by the church. Under certain circumstances, divorce, but no remarriage under any circumstances. Again, not everybody agrees with that, but that is the official position of the church. We don't insist that everybody agree with that, but it is the official position of the church. And then, You have a fourth, and that is divorce and remarriage are permissible, but only under certain circumstances. In other words, the fourth is not only is divorce permitted under certain circumstances, but remarriage is also under certain circumstances permitted. Okay, so that's basically the four views. That makes sense. One is extremely liberal, anytime, any place, anywhere, anybody. One, extremely strict, no divorce under any circumstances for anybody at any time. And then you have these other two that are kind of in between those two. One, divorce is permitted under certain circumstances, but no remarriage. And then the other view that divorce and remarriage under certain circumstances would be permitted. Okay? There's a hand. Yes. No, no, not at all. Not at all. That's an independent Baptist church position. This independent Baptist church position. Any other questions? All right. What I would like to do is... First of all, look at verse 9. I just, again, I'm going to leave out the exception clause for right now, okay? We'll deal with that in the future. But notice what it says, whoever shall put away his wife, except for it be for fornication, and marry another, commits adultery. So let's just stop there. Husband divorces his wife, marries someone else, he's committing adultery. Whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Okay, so you have the two scenarios. Actually, one scenario, but two results. Husband divorces his wife and marries another, he's committing adultery. And then the one who marries the one who's been divorced is committing adultery. That's what Christ says here. Again, we will come back to that exception clause. There may be an exception, but for the most part, except for that exception, for the most part, Jesus is saying, if you divorce your wife and marry someone else, you're committing adultery, and if somebody marries the one who's been divorced, they're committing adultery. Okay? Go back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. Very similar, but it is a little bit different. Similar, but a little different. Again, it has this exception clause in it, and we'll deal with that later. But verse 32, Matthew 5. I say unto you that whoever shall put away his wife, except for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. Matthew 19, it says, if a husband puts away his wife or divorces his wife and he marries another, he commits adultery. Here he says, if the husband divorces his wife, he causes her to commit adultery. Now, obviously, remarriage is involved there. In other words, you divorce your wife and she remarries, she's committing adultery. And then the last phrase, whoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. That's the same as in Matthew 19. So there's this Matthew 19 that says the husband divorces his wife, marries another, he commits adultery. And the one who marries her that's been divorced is committing adultery. Here now we have this addition that if the husband divorces his wife and she remarries, she's committing adultery. Yes. Mm-hmm. There's debate in that.
All I'm saying is it could be both places. There's some textual evidence that it is both places.
Right.
But it's not necessarily true. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's possible. What I'm saying is, and we'll get into the Mark and Luke passages, I'm just trying to lay out the possibilities that Christ is mentioning here. And so there's those three thoughts so far. The husband commits adultery if he remarries. The wife commits adultery if she remarries. And whoever marries the one that's been divorced commits adultery. There are the three things that have been laid out in these two verses. Yep. He's causing her to commit adultery. So he's guilty, she's guilty. She's still committing the adultery. He's guilty for divorcing her and bringing that about, but she's still guilty of it.
Because she remarried.
See, he's causing her to commit adultery. So yes, it's on him, but she is committing the adultery.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't, you know, taken away from him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying that it sounds like he was the cause of the whole thing.
He's guilty, yes. He's guilty.
I'm just wondering why it's split. It says causes her to commit adultery and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Why is it?
Well, he's simply saying she's committing adultery and the one who marries her is committing adultery. Again, please understand, we're not dealing with that exception clause. Okay? Look at Mark. Chapter 10. Mark 10, basically we have the same account as what was taking place in Matthew 19. The verse we really look at down at verse 11 of Mark 10. Whoever shall put, and he says unto them, whoever shall put away his wife and marry another commits adultery. So now we have, if the husband divorces his wife, marries another, he is committing adultery. If a woman, verse 12, puts away her husband and be married to another, she commits adultery. So now in Mark 10, we have the husband divorcing his wife and marrying another, he's committing adultery. We have the wife divorcing her husband and marrying another, she's committing adultery. Yes?
Is it continuous or is it just a one-time adultery? Will it be adultery?
Mm-hmm. I don't believe it's a continuous adultery. I believe the remarriage is adultery. There's forgiveness, yes, and we'll definitely be getting into that as we continue. That's what makes this so hard. I wish we had a 6-hour day to just deal with this subject because you got to lay groundwork, and some people aren't here when you lay the groundwork, and so then they come in on the middle of it, and it can get very confusing, and so. We talk about this tonight and we leave and some are saying, well, can't we be forgiven? Yes, of course. We just haven't gotten there yet in our study. And so, I know I've mentioned that already in the first couple of weeks but maybe somebody wasn't here then. So thanks for bringing that up. Yes, there is forgiveness. And once a person is remarried, I have never believed that the answer is to divorce now that spouse and try to get back to your first one. No, if you've been remarried, God wants you to make that marriage as God-honoring and Christ-like as you possibly can. And there is forgiveness in that. I think there was a hand over here.
I was a little surprised when it said a woman divorces her husband because I didn't think women had the rights or the Scripture.
Yeah, in this culture, did the women have, and yes, they did. It just was not very frequent, because a wife without a husband in that culture was, they were going to be in poverty. And so that just was not, but Christ does mention it here. There's another hand over here. Okay, yes.
Now, if the wife that has been divorced doesn't remarry, then she's committed no sin.
Correct. The question is, if a husband divorces his wife, but she does not remarry, then obviously she's not committing adultery. If the wife divorces the man and he does not remarry, right, he is not committing adultery. Yes. Right. Right.
Does the church deal with the exception that we have about to?
Yes, we'll get to that. I'll simply say this. The church's position is the exception, like I said in those four views, the exception has to do with the divorce, not the remarriage. That's the position of the church. So divorce may be permitted and allowable and not be sinful if it is because of adultery. But that does not free that individual up to remarry. And let me, remember last week we talked about there in Matthew 19 where it gets into, you know, the disciples' response was, well, man, it's not a good thing to get married then. If it's that serious and you can't get out of it, then you're better off not getting into it. That's in essence what the disciples were saying. And Christ didn't condemn that thinking. In essence, he's saying, you know, yes, it is serious. If you're going to get into it, you better plan on staying in it. And then he makes the comment about the eunuchs. Some are born eunuchs, some are made eunuchs by the hand of man, and others choose to be eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. I think that is a very significant part of that passage that we overlook. What is Christ saying? Some choose to be single for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 7, where he says, you know, you might be better off being single so that you can more fully give yourself to the work of the Lord. I think in certain circumstances, in 1 Corinthians 7, I think it was under persecution, when Christians are being persecuted, it might be a better thing to be single rather than worrying about your spouse. You know, if I was going to be persecuted, I would rather not have to worry about my wife being persecuted too. And so Paul addresses that, and Christ is saying, there's some who choose to be single for the kingdom of heaven's sake. I guess my point is this, and this is where emotion gets involved. When somebody is divorced, our tendency is to say, well, it's just not fair that they have to be single. It's just not fair. God wouldn't expect them to just go through the rest of their life without being married. I understand that from a human standpoint. I understand that from a human perspective of fairness, but what's God's perspective? Would he be pleased for a person to say, I'm going to stay single for the kingdom of heaven's sake? Isn't that the context? What we may view as fair or unfair maybe isn't the same view that God takes as fair and unfair. Maybe he looks at it and say, well, what I think is fair is that you stay single for my sake so that you can serve me. Maybe that's what he sees as fair. Just something to think about. Why is that in that context? Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, verse 18. Whoever puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery. Okay, we've already seen that one in Matthew 19. Husband divorces his wife and marries another, he's committing adultery. And whoever marries her that is put away from her husband commits adultery. So the husband divorces his wife, marries another, he's committing adultery. And the one who marries the one who's been divorced commits adultery. That's the same as Matthew 19. However, there's no exception clause in Luke chapter 16. There's no exception clause in Mark, where he says if you divorce your wife or you divorce your husband and you marry another, you commit adultery. There's no exception in either Mark or Luke, just in Matthew. Now, once is enough. You know, God doesn't have to repeat himself to make it true. So even though the exception clause is only in one place, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that means it's not important. It is important. What I'm saying is, in our study of this, we have to answer the question, why? Why is it included in Matthew and not in Mark and Luke? There's got to be a reason for that. Can I just throw this out? Again, I really am trying to get you to think. To really study the scriptures here. There's no simple solution to all of this, but you got to think it through. Often we talk about the innocent party. In other words, if your spouse divorces you and you didn't want the divorce and you wanted to stay in the marriage and you did everything you possibly could to keep that marriage together, but your spouse still divorces you, you are the innocent party, and many would say the innocent party has a right to remarry. The verses I've just read, is there anything said about an innocent party? Again, we've got this exception thing about the husband divorcing his wife except for the cause of fornication. But there's nothing said there about any innocent party involved. Just think that through. Again, our emotions can get involved and our emotions can say, well, they're the innocent party, they shouldn't have to be punished. Well, why is it, and that's how we think, isn't it? Well, the innocent party shouldn't be punished. They didn't want the divorce, and so why should they be punished and have to stay single? Why do we see staying single as punishment? Didn't Christ say maybe some should choose to be single for the kingdom of heaven's sake? Somehow we've gotten in our mind that if you have to stay single, that's punishment. Well, the Bible doesn't look at singleness as punishment at all. Again, I'm just asking you to think that through. Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, you have to be careful with this because Paul's not specifically talking about divorce and divorce and remarriage. He brings it up in order to make another point. But certainly Paul, in Romans chapter 7, is not trying to address this whole subject of divorce and divorce and remarriage. He just uses one example as it relates to marriage to make another point about our relationship with Christ. But he does make this statement in Romans 7. Verse 2, for the woman who has an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. This is where we understand that if a spouse dies, then remarriage is certainly allowed. Paul makes that very clear. She's not bound to her husband if he's dead, even though she be married to another, she's not committing adultery. But if she be married to another while her husband is still alive, she is committing adultery. And then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I'm going to wrap this up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We kind of went through this here recently in our study of 1 Corinthians, but verse 10, 1 Corinthians 7, unto the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Okay, that's the first thing. Wife is not to leave her husband. Wife is not to divorce her husband. She's not to leave her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. So if the wife does depart, if she does decide she wants to divorce her husband, he says she is to remain unmarried or be reconciled back to her husband. So Paul leaves only two possibilities. He leaves only two options. Either be reconciled to your husband or remain unmarried. Verse 13, if the woman who has an husband, verse 12, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believes not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. So you have a husband who is a Christian, the wife is not a Christian, but if the unbelieving wife is okay with staying in the marriage, then the husband does not have a right to divorce her. And then vice versa in verse 13, the woman has an unbelieving husband, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. So the unbeliever in both cases is desirous of staying in the marriage. That's not a reason for divorce. And then we come to verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. If the unbelieving husband or the unbelieving wife doesn't want to stay in the marriage, then let him go. And then it says the brother or sister, that is the believing spouse, is not under bondage in such cases. What does that mean? Looks like a good place to stop right there. What does that mean? Not under bondage. Obviously, some say, well, that means that they're free to remarry. Others would say, no, that simply means they're not responsible to that spouse anymore. They don't have to fulfill their vows to that spouse. Doesn't free them to remarry, but they don't have to fulfill their vows to that spouse any longer. That becomes the debate. Does it mean they're not under bondage in the sense that they're free to remarry, or simply does it mean they're not under bondage in the sense of not fulfilling their vows to that spouse any longer? Now, I've taken the time to look at those verses. Do you realize that in the verses we've read tonight, we have read the entire New Testament's subject, or the entire New Testament dealing with this subject? It's not very much. You got Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Romans, and 1 Corinthians. The verses we've read tonight are the verses in the New Testament that deal with this subject. It's not a lot. And we have to make our conclusions based upon those verses, tying in some Old Testament verses perhaps, but make basically those verses. That's why it's so difficult. These verses don't cover every possibility that might be out there in a very clear, distinct way. We need to draw some conclusions from these verses to fit the situations that we face. And that's where it becomes very difficult. So we'll leave you with that tonight. Again, please, please understand that divorce and remarriage is not any different than any other sin. It's a sin that is forgiven by a loving God. It's, yes, God hates divorce, but he also hates lying. He hates pride. He hates sowing discord. It's an abomination to him. Proverbs 6 says about lying and sowing discord and pride. It's an abomination to him. So we're not putting divorce or divorce and remarriage in a category all by itself. They are forgivable. They are washed away by the blood of Christ, and we can rejoice in that. But it is a subject that is very prevalent in our day, and it's a subject as a church we have to deal with. And so we go through this to just see what does the scripture say, and then how are we going to deal with it? What are we going to do about it? And let me just close with this. There has not been a deacons meeting in the last year that we have not spent the majority of our time together talking about this subject. We are dealing with it. We're going to have to continue to deal with it, and we will see where the Lord leads us in it. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for our time together tonight. And again, we just ask for your guidance. We ask for your wisdom. We want to know your will. We don't want to be stricter than what your word teaches. We don't want to be more liberal than what your word teaches. We want to be where you are. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, and may we indeed be true to your word, and may we truly love those around us as they struggle with this very topic and as we are faced with it in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. Thanks for coming tonight.